Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting, management, or its sponsors.
Take this job and shove it.
Get ready to go into business for yourself. The Franchise Academy Radio Show with your host and small business and franchise expert, Tom Skarda.
Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Tom Skarda, and I am talking to you live from Long Island, New York. I'm here in, we have a studio set up in the lobby of MacArthur Airport, Islip, Long Island, and we are live every Tuesday night talking about franchising, small business, best practices about franchising, how to buy a franchise, how to sell a franchise, even how to turn your business into a franchise. And tonight we have a special guest coming on in just a few minutes. The president is going to be on, not the president of the United States. We're going to have the president of Citywide Maintenance calling in from Kansas City, Kansas, and talking about that business and how they're trying to break into Long Island and also some other major markets in Long Island. So stay tuned, and he'll be on at about 8:15 Eastern, just a few minutes. So for those of you that don't know me, my name is Tom Skarda. I'm the author of Franchise Savvy, and I own a business that matches people with franchise opportunities and work with people that are frustrated with their job and kind of cringe at the thought of going to work on Monday morning and help people figure out if franchising is for them or not. A lot of people ask me, how did I get to this position? And it's really interesting because I used to be a New York City subway conductor. I used to open and close doors in the subway. If you ever rode on the New York City subway, I was the guy that was making the announcements that you couldn't understand. And I wanted to say hi to all my friends out there on Facebook Live that are watching in. And Mark Kupach, of course. Hello there, Mark. And a couple other of my friends out there, too. And Sharon, of course, hello. And I think I saw Mark Kale. I'm not sure if I saw that or not. But I am so excited you guys are listening in. Thank you so much. So I used to be a subway conductor opening and closing doors. And I was there for 13 years and really loved what I did. I really loved being a cog in the wheel of moving, you know, hundreds of people, you know, actually more than 5 million people a day in New York City subways. And after a while, I got kind of tired of what I was doing. And somebody said to me, an old timer there, a motorman said, hey, you know, this is really a great job. And it's interesting because I was working, you know, some things you remember so clearly in life. I was working as a new conductor on the R train, if you're familiar with the R. I hated working the R train. Because the R train never comes out of the ground from Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, all the way out to 179th Street. It was actually Continental Avenue in Queens. Never comes out of the ground, and I hated that. Never saw sunlight all day long. And one Sunday afternoon, I had to go into work at like 4:30 in the afternoon, and I was really depressed because my family was home eating macaroni, and I was having a bagel with cream cheese. And this old-timer said to me, why are you so depressed? And I said, well, you know, this kind of stinks. I really don't like what I'm doing here. And he said, hey, kid, this is a great job, you know. You'll always have a shirt on your back. It'll never be a silk shirt, but you'll always have a shirt. And that kind of resonated with me. It was like, bam, hit me like just a ton of bricks. Like, what do you mean I'm never having a silk shirt? And, you know, as a metaphor, I looked around and realized that the people that were wearing silk shirts were really business owners, but I knew nothing about business. I was a government worker. You know, I didn't have a great education. I was really just an associate's degree guy from liberal arts degree from from Kingsborough Community College in Brooklyn. You know, the K by the Bay for those of you from Brooklyn. And you know, I knew nothing about business, but I knew a franchise was a business with training wheels, and really, that's what I needed. I needed a business where somebody could hold my hand and really show me the ropes, and that is a franchise, and that's what I needed. So tonight, I'm going to talk with Jeff Otto, who is the president of Citywide Maintenance. He's going to be calling in a few minutes, and Also, I'm going to talk about a book that I did, an ebook, which is a collaboration with one of my best friends in franchising, Matt Stevens. And we did this collaboration of a book called The Road to Franchise Freedom, Avoiding Common Traps of a Franchise Review. And for those of you on Facebook Live, there is a copy of that is the book, The Road to Franchise Freedom, available on Amazon, of course. And it's just an ebook. So it's cheap. It's $2.99. And this is 21 ways that people screw up a franchise investigation. So that it's a great read if you are a person that's thinking about franchising. So my book, Franchise Savvy, which is a regular book, also available on Amazon, talks about a lot of these pitfalls that people fall into when they're buying a franchise. You know, one of the main things that I hear from people is they say, hey, you know, I want to buy a business that surrounds my hobby. And, you know, you might have heard the phrase, if you work a day, if you love your work, you never work a day in your life. And that is true if you're working a job. But in a business, it's not a job. A business is building a lifestyle. And that's what franchising is all about, is building a lifestyle. And it really has nothing to do, it doesn't have to have anything to do with anything that you really like. I mean, you could be a vegetarian and own a McDonald's. You know, it really doesn't matter. So you want to really get into a business that will give you time and money so you can enjoy your passions to your heart's content. That is the main thing to look for in a great franchise for you. So there's a lot of different angles to think about when you're buying a franchise. And I try to dispel a lot of the misnomers along with my friend Matt in this book, The Road to Franchise Freedom, Avoiding the Common Traps of Franchise Review. And it's something that will help you not get caught in buying the wrong franchise. If you buy the wrong franchise, you could be in a lot of trouble. Being in a wrong franchise could be detrimental financially. It could be devastating. So you don't want to get involved with the wrong franchise. So we have Jeff Odo calling in, and we're going to go live with him in a second. And so I just want to bring Jeff in. We got Mike. Mike the engineer. Hey, Jeff, can you hear me?
I can.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. How about yourself?
I am doing great. Thanks for calling in. Where are you calling from?
Kansas City, Missouri.
That's what I thought. Okay, cool. And I just have to say, you know, Jeff is a guy who has built a fantastic franchise, and you wouldn't know the franchise. This is not McDonald's. This is not, you know, Burger King or Subway. This is not a food franchise. This is Citywide Maintenance. And Citywide Maintenance is a business that was that actually was started by your dad. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. 1961, my dad started a cleaning company.
Wow. So the 61 is amazing because that was even before I was born. so that is amazing. So, you know, this is really kind of the true American dream, where the Otto family brought Citywide branding, you know, coast to coast, and they're looking for franchises, you know, around the country. And I never, you know, being in franchising, I actually did not know of Citywide Maintenance. And then one of my oldest friends in franchising, a guy by the name of Chris Neeb, introduced me to this business. And he's like, you got to check this thing out. It's like crazy. Chris and I used to be franchise owners together in something called Maui Wowie Smoothies. And I'm going back, you know, 2000, 2001. And so we know each other for almost 20 years now. And we, you know, he showed me this business, and I was blown away. And I was like, this is something that we got to get involved with. And so my company, FranChoice, took this on, you know, and Chris is heading up the sales of that. So anyway, I'm glad to have you with us, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, this is phenomenal. So give us kind of a little background on what Citywide Maintenance does.
Citywide provides facility maintenance services to commercial properties. And that means that we can help commercial properties with anything from lawn and landscaping to janitorial services to handyman services to security, electrical, plumbing, you name it. If it is a facilities maintenance service, which is about 25 different opportunities, then Citywide will provide that service for the commercial property through a network of certified contractors.
So you're not actually hiring employees to go out and do the landscaping and the snow removal, is that right?
That's right. Actually, that's how this whole thing kind of came together, is my dad started this janitorial company in 61, as you mentioned. And I got into it, I don't know, late 80s, and I was working it, and everything was good, and we were happy and making money. And I realized that being in just a cleaning company or any operational company, it doesn't matter which one of those service-based industries you are, you're very dependent upon a set of employees who are skilled at the services that they provide.
Right.
And in the janitorial world, which is what we were at the time, it's entry-level workers, and it's typically minimum wage or real close to the minimum wage, and there was high turnover, and with high turnover comes inconsistency and theft, and we were just having problems. And I'm a middle child. I'm a people pleaser. I want to make sure everybody's happy, and when you have turnover and people problems, it's pretty darn hard to keep your clients happy. And so I had the most amazing experience where I was very frustrated with, we were having great success growing the company, but as fast as we could grow it, we'd lose these same accounts or different accounts because we couldn't get those people. And this guy named Mr. Cho, if you're out there listening, please give me a call. I would love to talk to you and say thank you for what you did, because we lost track somewhere along the lines. But Mr. Cho came to me, a Korean gentleman, and he said, hey, I lost my only account. We're cleaning the KCI, Kansas City International Overhaul Base. Mm-hmm. It's my only account in Kansas City. I don't want to move back to Dallas. Do you guys subcontract your work? And I said, no, Mr. Cho, I appreciate subcontracting. It's bad. Go away. And he says, no. Let me tell you why subcontracting is good. And so, long story short, he was a great guy. He was charismatic, and I believed in him. And I said, well, I tell you what, I cleaned 5 high-rise office buildings by the airport. Why don't you meet me tonight, and I'll show you one of the buildings? And he says, no, I take them all tonight. Like, no, you can meet me up there, and I will show you one of the buildings. So in those days, the way that it was we would go pick up, and this way most janitorial companies are. Say they would hire as many people as they can. But when you run out of people, your only option is to bring in temporary labor.
Right.
And we were no different. So we'd go pick up the temporary labor, and I pulled up, me and 3 supervisors. We had 4 cars. Each one of us had temp laborers in our car. And I rolled into that parking lot, and there's Mr. Cho standing at attention with 20 Korean workers in uniform. And I look in my rearview mirror, Tom, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, you got to be kidding me. I am going to clean this building tonight with day laborers.
Wow.
Or I could take a chance on Mr. Cho. And so I really did. I got out. I talked to Mr. Cho one more time. And I said, this is either the dumbest thing that I've ever done or the smartest thing, but it's in God's hands now. And I gave him the keys and turned it over to our supervisors. And that night, Mr. Cho took over 5 high-rise office buildings. And we went from being in jeopardy from losing that account to within a week, the customer was calling us and saying, hey, whatever you guys are doing, keep it up. By the way, can you help me with a roof leak?
What?
I was like, well, yeah, sure, of course I can help you with a roof leak. Well, you know, in sales, you say, well, you say yes, and then you figure out how to do it later. So
that's right. Yes.
I called my brother who is in the construction business, and I said, hey, I need help. Send me a roofer. And within just a short period of time, we realized that we don't need to be just a janitorial company. In reality, there are lots and lots of janitorial companies that are out there who are a lot better than we are. And there's a lot more of roofers and plumbers and electricians and all these people that what they all have in common is typically one thing is the mid-sized contractors. I'm not talking about the large big boys that everybody knows. You know, we don't work with the big contractors in any city because we'd be duplicating overhead. They don't need us. we don't need them, so we don't work with them. And the bottom 20%, they're mom and pops, they're college students, retirees. They're not professional enough to be in our buildings. But that middle 60, those people are typically very, very good at what they do. They typically employ friends and family, but almost every one of them struggles with sales. That's why they're a middle 60 and not a top 20.
Right.
And if they don't struggle with sales, they struggle with cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did is we went to that middle 60 and said, look, I'll provide the sales for you and the client management relationship so you can sleep during the day, do your thing at night. We'll take care of the clients during the day. We'll sell the accounts, and we will guarantee you payment.
That's amazing.
All you have to do is what you do best. And it ended up being this amazing experience where we went from being just a janitorial company, struggling all the time, to truly what I would consider a win-win-win, because the contractors need us for the sales and operation, or sales and cash flow. We need them because they're providing 25 different services. And then when you bundle it to the clients who say, I can save you time and solve problems, the clients are like, God, this is great, because
awesome.
I'm tired of paying 25 different vendors and paying 25 different invoices and talking to 75 different salespeople who are always trying to sell me on these 25 services. So it's very rare when you can find a business model that's truly a win-win-win.
That's fantastic. And it's so much more than I actually thought it was. Hey, one second. I have to talk to Mike, my engineer, for a second. Could you put the sound on in the studio so the Facebook Live people can actually hear the sound hear Jeff talking? So, Jeff, we're on Long Island, as you know, and we're podcasted actually throughout the universe, as they say. But tell me, what would make Long Island a strong place for citywide maintenance to start up?
I think the biggest thing that they have or that you have is the workforce. You've got a diversity of workforce there, which is great, and you have the type of clientele that we are pursuing. So we have five different tiers, and one of the tiers, or actually tier number one, is owner-occupied office buildings.
Right.
So you've got these multi-tenant buildings and owner-occupied office buildings, and it's car dealerships and churches and schools and daycare centers and shipping and trucking and manufacturing. Well, you guys are loaded up with that stuff. So you have the perfect clientele, and you've got the workers and the diversity of the workers to actually service the accounts. And when we can find markets that have both of those, you know, we have proven to be very, very successful.
That's amazing. And I just want to say hello to, you know, we're out on Facebook Live. I want to say hello to my friend Scott Thompson from the Made Right franchise out in the Carolinas, and also my buddy Chris Shelley, all going back to high school and college, gay by the bay. But Jeff, tell me, you know, what are you looking for in a great franchise owner? You know, do you got to love, you know, cleaning? I mean,
no, actually, we don't even out of all of our markets, we only have two people from the industry. So the cleaning industry, our best franchise owners are actually two people. But if it's only going to be one person, then chances are they're typically going to be a general manager or a president or a COO that's come up through the sales channel.
Okay.
So they have an appreciation for sales. They've done some sales management. They've done some sales themselves. It's not necessary. But in reality, we're truly a sales organization. If your entire, all the services are provided through a host of certified contractors.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, what our core competency needs to be is sales.
Right.
But I would say 40% of our franchisees do not have a sales background. They're very good in the operations and the management side of it, and they go out and can hire a sales team to do the prospecting and sales activities that are required to be successful in our model.
So that's awesome. So, you know, anyone who could really not be afraid to talk to people, you know, not be so much an introvert, but someone who is more of a relationship builder. Would that be the kind of fit you're looking for?
Yeah, absolutely. If you've made a career out of selling, Instead of making money for the next guy, you could be doing the exact same skill set, making money for yourself. So instead of just getting paid a commission and traveling and not being in control of your own destiny and having a new boss every 3 or 4 or 5 years, you can take control, do exactly what you're currently doing, but you're building equity and cash flow and security for you and your family by using the same skills that you currently have.
That's awesome. And, you know, so markets you're looking for off the top of your head, I know like Long Island is open. We're looking for that market. Any specific markets around the country that are of interest to you to open up in?
You know, our position has always been that we're looking for the best people. We only want to open up 10 markets a year, 8 to 10, call it. So for us, it's much more important to find 10 of the best people, the most qualified people, rather than identifying a specific market that we want to be in.
Hey, so Jeff, I appreciate that. We're going to take a break. I would love if you can hang on for a couple of minutes here. Got to pay the bills, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Take this job and shove it.
And now back to the Franchise Academy Radio Show with your host and small business and franchise expert, Tom Skarda.
Hey, everybody, this is Tom Skarda, and I am live at Islip Airport. And this is Long Island News Radio, and longislandnewsradio.com is the station if you want to listen on the internet. Get on the web, on the line. So on the line, actually, we have Jeff Otto, who is the president of Citywide Maintenance, and we're talking about a franchise that you would never think about, which is in building maintenance, but you actually have no employees. And it's almost like a subcontracting third-party business opportunity for someone who is really good at talking with people. So, Jeff, welcome back.
Hey, good to be back.
Yeah, thanks for hanging in. We have a long segment for our commercials and paying the bills here, but we only have one commercial segment, so that was it. I apologize for the long delay. But we are back, and so, Jeff, the person that is really good for your franchises as a franchise owner is someone who's not afraid to talk to people. And so who are they talking to? Who are their prospects? Are they talking to landlords or like facility maintenance people?
Typically building owners and office managers. So property managers and building owners are two of the primary candidates. So it is more than just a good talker. This is truly for a professional sales manager, somebody who has led a team before, hired and fired people, understands how to read a P&L. That's why it needs to be this at a general manager or COO level who comes up from the sales ranks. But yeah, if you know how to do sales and you understand the tenets of business, then you'd be perfect for us to talk to.
So the business was started by your dad in 1961. When did you start franchising?
1990-ish, 91-ish, something like that. Actually, that's not true. I want to say 96. I should know that, but it was 1996. So we changed the model from all in-house employees to the independent contractor model, and that was in the early 90s. And then we started having so much success with that. That's when I realized I had another experience I'd love to share with you, is that I told you about Mr. Cho, the Korean man who turned me on to the independent contractors, but I had another moment of fate where I met a gentleman named Tom Hill, and he was one of the co-authors of Chicken Soup for the Soul, and he was talking to us about how successful business owners oftentimes struggle with not feeling significant. Yeah. And his whole group that I belonged to. Hills Angels was the name of his group, and Hills Angels was business owners like myself who were successful but not significant. And the purpose was, how do you get a bunch of successful business owners together and make a positive impact in the world? How do you get people with like minds who care about more than just the money and now want to give back and truly positively impact others? And
right.
And one of the things that he talked about is take your business and share it with others, because franchising is the most amazing model where instead of corporate own and having one fat cat at the top and owns and controls everything, you can share the wealth and the story and the secrets, and you can help hundreds of people or thousands of people, depending upon the model, live the American dream. And so that's when we got into franchising, which was 2001. Our very first franchise we opened up in St. Louis and Denver. And we took our, at that time, call it 50 years of experience, 45, 50 years of experience, and we said, you know, take your business experience and your sales acumen and follow our model for success, and we can help you really grow a successful business. And sure enough, they did fantastic. They jumped right out of the gates and started having great success, which allowed us to tell the story to others. And before long, you know, we're in 50 of the largest cities across the country, and it's been really
and growing
wonderful for us. That's right.
Yeah, yeah. So in your estimation, I mean, you've been franchising now over 20 years. Why is franchising a better route to start your own independent building maintenance management company instead of just trying to start it from scratch?
Well, I tell people that those people who can start a business from scratch, who like doing the all of the things that you have to do to start a business from scratch, like designing compensation plans and designing policy manuals and procedures and writing an RFP on a technology platform and scoping it out and buying the technology and programming it and all that. If you like all of those details, you would not make a good franchisee in our model. Our model is for people who say, I could probably do all that. I'm smart enough I could do it, but I don't want to do that.
Right.
I want to sell, and I want to lead. And I want to make a difference in the world myself. And my core competencies are sales and leadership, and that's what I want to do. So they are willing to pay us a franchise fee,
right,
and a ongoing royalty, because basically, effectively, what you are is you're like a business partner. We have responsibilities that we are accountable to the franchisees for.
Absolutely.
And the franchisees are responsible to the franchisor for certain activities. And together, the royalties is really the franchisor's share of their combined clients.
Right.
And so we take those that years of experience and just we are getting paid for basically one thing, and that is time.
Yeah.
Because they could all figure it out on their own if they had 50 years. Maybe if they're super, super smart, they might be able to figure it out in 20 years. But even if at 20 years we're saving you 30 years and in a business in a box in day one, we can provide you everything that you need to know. And I think that's why the two reasons why it's better to start a franchise, because the people who are good at our business can't do and don't want to do all the details, and they don't want to spend the time to recreate the wheel.
Right, right. I mean, somebody much smarter than me once said that, you know, with a franchise, you know, you're paying the fees, but what you're paying for is to buy down your ramp-up time and buy up the time to get to a break-even or a profit point. So, you know, I always say to folks, from, you know, people like, oh, I don't want to pay a franchise fee. I mean, some franchise fees are, you know, the amount of a down payment for a house. And yeah, that's a lot of money. But if you started your own business from scratch, chances are you would make probably $20,000 worth of mistakes in the first 3 years if you lasted that long. And statistically, according to the Small Business Administration, you wouldn't even last 3 years. Typically, it's 1 year and you go out for 50% of the businesses, and the rest that remain, they go out of business over the next 5 years. So the stats are stacked against you, and franchising is quite the opposite, because you have the roadmap, you have the blueprint, you have the trail that's been blazed. You just have to follow it, and that's really the beauty of franchising. You know, in my estimation. And when you think, when you're thinking about franchising, you don't think about, you know, building maintenance, and it's just such a lucrative business. I mean, you just wouldn't believe it. And when my friend Chris Neeb told me about it, you know, I was like skeptical at first, and then I got behind the curtain and I was like, oh my God, this is like unbelievable. And you know, this is a business. If you were to get involved with a franchise, here's you know, a father and son operation that started in 1961 that has really become synonymous with building maintenance in its home city of Kansas City, and now around, you know, 500 major cities across the United States.
50 major cities.
I'm sorry. What did I say?
Did you say 500? I thought.
I might have. Those are zeros jumping on me. But yeah, 50 U.S. Major markets, and it's kind of a single source or one-stop shopping for all maintenance services that are needed. So I think that is really cool. And there's a lot of information about the franchise on gocitywide.com. Is that correct, Jeff? Is that where they can find you guys?
Yeah, and when you talk about it, it's not typical. You are right. The average franchise in America is way under $1 million. There are brands who take full-page advertisement that says, our average city does, or our average franchise does $1.1 million. That's a huge advertising campaign. You probably know who it is, Tom.
I do.
And that's a big, big deal.
Yeah.
And yet, our average franchise are doing a little over $3.5 million in revenue. And the goal is, the minimum expectation really is for everybody to get to $10 million in 10 years. So it truly is very, very unique. And because, now you had said no employees, obviously I know what you were trying to say, but very few employees, but we have no hourly employees, that's for sure. The people that are citywide employees are the salespeople, the account managers, because we want to control that entire process, and then the accounting and bookkeeping, all of those people. But in a city that's doing $3.5 million might have 12 employees.
Right.
They might have 600, 700, 800 people working for them through their contractors. You know, 50 contractors with 700 people working for them for the contractors. But the franchisee themselves are probably going to have around 12 to 15 people doing $3.5 million. So it really is unique. And you are right. There's nothing like this in the franchising model.
There's really not. And I see, you know, Being a consultant with FranChoice, I see across all industries in franchising, and it's just one of the most unsung gems in the franchise industry, and a very exciting opportunity. But, you know, it's not exciting from like, hey, I'm going to have a bar and I'm going to invite all my friends. I'm going to be, you know, one of those guys. And at the end of the day, in those kind of businesses, you don't have a life, and you're making pennies on a dollar, and everything is, you know, high volume, small margin. And this is, you know, quite the opposite of that. And I just think it's a phenomenal opportunity, and really a great way to, you know, provide for your family. But what's really cool is that it gives you the opportunity to do the things in your life that you want to do. This is not about, you know, marrying this kind of business, and this is, you know, this is, you got to love this business. You got to love the business of business, and then use that time and use the money you're going to make to enjoy your hobbies, do whatever you want to do, give to your church, your favorite charity, because you're going to be making more money than you ever made in a W-2 job, if you are, you know, following the system correctly. And we're not, you know, making earnings claims or anything like that, but it's really, it just breaks my heart when people don't see how great a service business is, and how good it could be for them and their family. And that's, you know,
I agree. I it tears me up when you hear people get into a franchise system, and ultimately what they ended up doing is buying themselves a job.
Yeah.
And it's difficult. You know, our model, it's compounding recurring revenue, so you don't ever start from zero after month one. You know, it's the compounding reoccurring revenue stream. There's no equipment, there's no inventory, there's no vehicles, there's no brick and mortar, and there's no hourly employees.
It's incredible.
It's such a scalable business, and What we do is not easy, but it's really simple. There's no shipping and trucking and manufacturing and all of the complications that a lot of these businesses have. Our model is a very simple model, and these people who are making a living in sales and sales management and general management would do them and their families a huge favor by stepping out, giving you a shout, and talking to us about an opportunity where they can use that exact same skill set and start building equity for themselves.
That is amazing. Well, I love it. And Jeff, I really want to thank you for taking the time out and sharing the story and the, you know, the legacy of citywide maintenance, and, you know, thankful to your dad for doing what he's done to build us and you taking it over. And it's just, you know, a phenomenal franchise story. You know, we always hear about the Ray Kroc's and those kind of people that started, you know, Fred DeLuca and all these folks that started these big name food franchises, but you know, you never really get to hear about people like you and people like your dad who have changed people's lives through a business model. And I just,
I know we're
you.
Probably running out of time, but we've got the most amazing story where we've got this. Every city has a citywide city LED, and it's a beautiful backlit, kind of like a neon sign, and it tells the whole story about how we'll do over $200 million this year, and in just a few short years, we'll be $1 billion. At $1 billion, we will be in the likes of McDonald's and Dunkin' Donuts and Hilton Hotels, and to my knowledge, there are not any service industries who are in the top 100 brands. I could be wrong on that, but for the vast majority certainly are food and retail. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to blow the socks off of people when a service company like ours ends up in the top 100, and they're going to say, who are these guys? I've never heard of them, don't know anything about them. And mm-hmm. we are making a big difference in the lives of a lot of people, because we'll have over 100,000 people. And to put that in perspective, Apple only has 98,000 people. And when we are at $1 billion, we'll have over 100,000 people whose lives are improved because of the citywide model. Mm. So we're really excited about it. It's a great, bright future for us.
Yeah, it is fantastic. And I love that. And we'll talk more, and you know, we'll have you on again, and if you're ever in New York, we'll bring you right into the studio and have you live on the air with us. So, Jeff, I appreciate your time, and we will connect soon.
All right, thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to spend some time with you. You got a great show. Keep up the excellent work, and I hope to see you soon in person.
Well, thank you. Yeah, thank you, Jeff. That's Jeff Otto from Citywide Maintenance out of Kansas. They're expanding nationally and looking for franchisees on Long Island. If you're locally listening on Long Island and you wanted to find out about the hottest franchise, well, believe it or not, the hottest franchise is not in food, but the hottest franchise is in building maintenance. Tonight, it is for sure building maintenance. So I want to say hello to my friends on Facebook Live, of course. Hey, Kevin, I see you there. Thank you for tuning in and listening to the Franchise Radio Show. I want to talk a second about a new book that I just published yesterday called The Road to Franchise Freedom. For those that are on Facebook Live, it's The Road to Franchise Freedom. Wrote this book with my buddy Matt Stevens, Matt, the franchise guy Stevens, and this is really 21 things that people screw up as they're looking for a franchise. So the subtitle is Avoiding Common Traps of the Franchise Review. And we talk about things like, you know, in this book, to start looking for a franchise that's just a hot franchise. And if you're looking for a hot franchise, that is not the place to start. You want to hear about a hot franchise? You know, one of the best businesses out there that I love that has changed my life is my friend Rich Isaac, who just joined on Facebook Live, Sandler Training in Hop Hog, New York. If you want to change your life and if you want to change your perspective in your business, Sandler Training in Hop Hog, Rich Isaac, and the whole gang there. That is just unbelievable folks that have really changed what I've done. It's a franchise. You would never know it if you're there with them, but it's one of the top-rated franchises, according to Franchise Business Review, and it's really a great business model. But in our book, The Road to Franchise Freedom, we're talking about, you know, just the mistakes that you make. There's really 21 mistakes that we've identified where people come in with the wrong notion, you know, misconceived notions of franchising, and they try to look for franchises based on these misconceptions, and it becomes really detrimental to their franchise, to their franchise pursuit. And you know, it's kind of like, you know, thinking that you need to get involved with something because it's your hobby, and if you have a business with your hobby, that's going to be easy, and it's not true at all. You want to get into a business that you understand and you enjoy the day-to-day operation, but you don't want to get into a business that is going to be your hobby, because in about 6 months, if you're trying to pay your mortgage with that business, you're going to hate that hobby, and it's no longer a hobby. And so we want to kind of enlighten folks about how to search for a franchise and not get, you know, sidetracked by ideas, you know, like, you know, you always hear the phrase, if you work a day in your life, if you love your job, you never work a day in your life. And that's true if you're working a job, but a business is not a job. A business is really meant to build a lifestyle. So that's important information. And our book is available on Amazon. I don't know if you ever heard of Amazon.com, but just kidding. But The Road to Franchise Freedom is available, and it's something that could really help you if you're looking for a franchise. So my name is Tom Scarta, and I am the author of Franchise Savvy, which is a bestseller, actually, in franchising. And I'm here every Tuesday night talking about franchising, the pros and cons of franchising, how to buy a franchise, how to sell a franchise, everything you ever wanted to know but didn't know where to go to ask. So tune in next Tuesday and listen to Franchise Radio Show. Good night.
Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting, management, or its sponsors.